The Holy Gospel according to John, the first chapter. John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples. And as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "Rabbi, where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. The Gospel of our Lord. May God's grace and light break into our souls this morning as we worship and praise God. Amen. Last summer, you may or may not recall, I preached a sermon on Luke 10 where Jesus appoints 70 people to go out ahead of him, in front of him, before he gets to those villages and towns to share in the good news. And I passed out these green slips of paper. There were 4 statements on them, and you could mark the statement that best described you. The first statement was, "I feel comfortable talking about faith with strangers." The second statement, "I could invite a friend to church without hesitation." The third one, "I could talk about King of Glory with more equipping and practice." And the fourth statement said, "I want to, but I'm afraid. I will pray and ask God for courage." So 27 cards were turned back into me, and that was great. 18 of you said you were able to invite a friend to church without hesitation. And I thought, fabulous. That's great. So I'm just wondering, has anybody invited anybody to church in the last 6 months? Ori has. Way to go, Ori. Good job. Couple people. And it's been that way the last couple services. Absolutely. Maybe if I had put on the card, "Jesus is coming tomorrow, invite your friend to church," you would have done it. 8 of those 27 said you'd feel comfortable talking about faith with a stranger. 5 said, "I'm honestly afraid and I need to pray and ask God for some courage." And 4 said, "I think I need some equipping and practice in order to be able to do that." Well, it was about 6 months ago as well that we were in a council meeting talking about going and inviting people to come to King of Glory in the neighborhood, and the council members themselves said, "You know, I'm not sure if I could do that. I think maybe I need some practice or some help." So that was the genesis of a 3-week class that Courtney Stites and I are teaching. It started last week. And today, it was again, and then the last one will be on the 29th. So there's still time for you to come. The question for last week was, why is your faith important to you? Why is faith important to you? Because if we don't know how it's important to us, then we're not going to be comfortable talking to somebody else about it, right? So why is it important to you? On the 29th, we're actually going to have scenarios that you can practice with each other, engaging in faith talk, real simple things. So come if you want. But last week, people said, when we asked that question, why is faith important to you? I was listening to their answers, and right away people said, friendship. I come here and I have friends. There's fellowship. There's people with the same values as me. I get to worship God. And as I was struck by those answers, how important our relationships are to each other. You mean a lot. We mean a lot to each other, don't we? Yeah, we do. I see your heads nodding. So as I think back on the church that I was raised in as a little girl, I still remember relationships that I had with people. Mr. and Mrs. Clark, I went to youth group for 90 minutes. When we walked in that room, we knew that we had Mr. and Mrs. Clark's full attention. They knew what was going on in our young lives. They were interested in us. Great people. Mrs. Richardson, she was the youth bell choir director and the youth choir director. She was vivacious. She was fun. She was always pregnant. It seemed like to me. She laughed way more than she got mad, which was a good thing because we weren't very good. Reverend Myers. Everybody loved Reverend Myers. He told jokes. He was funny. People loved him. And I never had a one-on-one conversation with him. But somehow I figured out that Reverend Myers really did know Jesus. And I wasn't quite sure how that happened. But I was sure that he knew Jesus. John the Baptist knew Jesus, but not right away. He says, I myself did not know that this was the one until the one who sent me whispered in my ear and said, this is the one, this is my son, this is the Lamb of God. He told that to his own disciples and they began to follow Jesus. Jesus turns around, sees them following and says, what are you looking for? The translation of that Greek is actually better translated, what are you seeking? What do you need? What do you hope to find? What are you seeking? What do you hope to find? What do you need? We've just come through Christmas, haven't we? And our retail culture loves to ask us that question. What do you need? New pair of tennis shoes? I got all the brands at the best prices. Come on in. So we get what we need or what we hope to find. And then we unwrap those Christmas presents underneath the tree. And they're great, but they don't really satisfy our spirits. They don't really satisfy our soul, what we're seeking. So I'm going to be quiet, and I just want you to think about that for yourself. What are you looking for? What are you seeking in God? What do you need? I hope you were able to think of something. If you weren't, try these on for size. I need to love and be loved. I need safety, stability. I need real connections and face-to-face conversations, not just Facebook posts and internet tweets. Maybe I need silence from this chaotic, noisy world that I live in. Maybe I need comfort in the middle of my grief. Maybe you said, I just need more of God. Have you ever found yourself standing in front of the pantry or the refrigerator with the doors wide open? All that cold air just coming out. You're looking for something. So out comes the bag of chips. And then out comes the cookies. And then maybe it's a piece of toast. I don't know what you like to snack on. I was on a snacking binge earlier this week. And after about the fourth snack, I thought to myself, I'm just eating to cover up what I really want. Because what I really want, I can't find in the refrigerator. And what I really need is not in the pantry either. So you close the doors, and you go sit down, and you pray to the one who is the source, who can give you everything that you need. Jesus said, what are you looking for? And apparently, light bulbs went off in the disciples' heads, and they realized somehow in that moment that this rabbi, this teacher, could give them what they needed, second chances and love and forgiveness and hope and joy and peace. And so the next question is obvious. Rabbi, new teacher, where are you staying? Logical question. In those days, disciples did go and live with their teacher. They wanted to be around him, spend time with him. And he could have said, well, of course you need to be around me because I have everything that you need and what you're looking for and what you're hoping to find. He didn't say all that. Three words. Come and see. Come and see, Jesus said. Come and see. When was the last time someone said that to you? Hey man, I got a new grill. Come and check it out. Let's do some steaks this afternoon. Come and see. Or when you were a little kid, I just got a new gerbil. I named it Bill. Want to come over to my house? Come and see. I don't have to tell you how the grill works. I don't have to know all the answers. Just come and be with me. Come and see is a relational statement. It's direct. It's simple. Just be with me, and I'll be with you. There was a five-year-old girl, true story, five-year-old girl. Parents didn't go to church. The neighbor did go to church, neighborhood church, two blocks down. She goes to the parents and says, hey, can I take little Shirley to Sunday school? And the parents agree. So the neighbor takes little Shirley to Sunday school. Sunday school, people learn Shirley's name. She comes back the next week. They remember her name. She learns about a guy named Jesus who's supposed to be her friend that she can talk to about anything. These teachers, these adults at this strange place called church, love her and seem to care about her a whole lot more than her drunken dad and her absent mother. She begins to just walk to church every weekend by herself. It's a great place. She knows now about God. And by the time that I meet Shirley, she is a woman deep of faith. She is on the church council. She volunteers at the women's prison. She invites more people to our congregation than any other person there. Because one day, Jesus with skin on came to her door and said, come and see. Come and see this Jesus. You and I know, because we have a living relationship with a living God, that God can give us what we're seeking, right? A second chance, love, peace, joy, clarity in the midst of our confusion. But there are people that still don't know that. And people in the church, and I myself have said, we are way beyond the days of come and see. It's time to go and tell. We need to be outside the church doors, showing people about Jesus, telling people about Jesus. But John the Baptist even said himself, I didn't know Jesus. I didn't know it was him. And there are people that will respond to those three words, come and see. Come and see, because it's about relationship. When people ask us a faith question, 9 times out of 10, they don't want a correct answer. They just want to be with us. They just want to be with us. And so, I'm going to ask you this morning, is church important to you? Uh-oh. Okay, I was hoping for a response. Is church important to you? Yes. Does it give you something that you need? Yes. I don't have any more green slips of paper. But I have these little orange pens that have King of Glory's address on them. Hi, Alice. My name is Ruth Ann. I go to this great church. Would you like to join me sometime?
I would.
Not too hard. Who wants a pen? Oh, my gosh, look at all these hands. Bob wants a pen. Let's give it up for Bob. He's going to invite. He's going to say, come and see. Nevaeh wants a pen. Are you going to invite a friend to come to church? Fabulous. Who else wants a pen? Barbara wants a pen. All right. Linda wants a pen. She's going to say to a friend, come and see. Laura wants a pen. She's going to say to a friend, come and see. Kathy wants a pen. And Jane wants a pen. Fabulous. I'm going to put these out in the concourse. If this can be a conversation starter for you, great. If that doesn't work for you, that's okay. But there's people that need to know Jesus, like we know Jesus. And God will help you make that invitation. So let's pray together. Holy Spirit, we are so thankful and humbled by the grace that you give us, by the love that you surround us with, by the life that you give us, that we live in you. Help us to be invitational and hospitable. Help us to reach out and invite a friend or a family member or a neighbor who needs to know you like we know you. Grant us your Holy Spirit that we might have courage to say those three simple words, come and see. Amen.